This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This hour is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. What is that? Well, if you have a business, small market, neighborhood grocery store, liquor store, they have a self-checkout system that could eliminate a cashier, which could maybe save you time, money, and headaches. It's an inexpensive system. It costs about the same as an old-style cash register. They use iPhone's app to add and change any of your product pricing. The delivery, installation, and training is provided by a Southwest point-of-sale specialist. Unlimited technical support provided. Comes complete with a barcode reader, cash box, printer. And you can get the service contract, and that's a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week service. Check them out. Also, Black Forest Motorsports, 8066 Engineer Road in San Diego. Go to blackforestautomotive.com for BMW, Porsche, or Mini service and performance. We got Craig Wesser in the house. Lives up in the El Segundo area.
Manhattan Beach.
Yeah, pull your phone or your phone. And we were just talking about the El Segundo Driving Museum, and you're going to love this. I was up there and... who was there but Joey Logano.
Oh really?
I got to go for a ride around the block with Joey Logano on a 1914 Model T.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
He drives just as fast in a Model T as he does in his Mustang, I'm telling you.
He has to drive fast today. Didn't he start in the back too?
So, probably so. So how long have you been driving drag racing?
Well, I've had two phases. I had a phase when I was in college. Mm-hmm. I actually went to school down here at UC San Diego.
Okay.
For my sophomore year.
Right.
And at that time, Carlsbad was running.
Ah.
And
with the bump at the end?
Yeah, exactly. And all the dirt and everything else. Great track, though. I mean, a lot of storied people race there. Anyway, they had a deal for high school students and college students to come down and bring the cars down.
So
my roommate that the you know you get set up with it at the dorms happened to be a drag racer. And
One thing led to another.
Had a 340 Duster, and I had a 65 Mustang. So we went up a couple times and uncorked the headers and pretended like we were John Force and had a great time, you know. So we did that, and then I finished up my degree at Long Beach State. And at the time I was going there, they had Brotherhood Raceway at Terminal Island. Big Willie Robinson.
Oh, Big Willie.
Yeah.
God, I look goosebumps. I haven't heard his name.
Oh, yeah.
So super cool dude.
So I take the Mustang over there and flog it, uncork the headers, flog it, beat it up.
Take it home, fix it.
Well, which was pretty stupid.
It was your daily driver, right?
I was working, going to school, and so I had to get from point A to point B living off campus. What a dummy.
And you still pounded the snot out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can get another tenth out of it.
Yeah, I know I can. I know I can.
So anyway, so that was the first stint, and then, you know, life happened.
Yeah, family, work.
Yeah. And as I have two daughters grown now, Kelly and Kate, and as they were getting towards the end of high school, I realized I'm going to get a hobby or something, you know, because
I'm going to have softball, time on
softball
my hands.
Coaching and driving around. Oh, everything's going to end, right?
Yeah, so you're doing all that.
So I bought a 63 Nova, and it was a street car, and it was a nice street car. I like working on the car, so I did all that stuff, four-link rear end and independent front suspension, all that kind of stuff, and did all the mechanical work, and I started hitting the coffee in the cars and the car shows.
Mm, yeah.
But you were just sitting there staring at each other.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You go to one.
Watching paint dry.
And the thing is, it's all the same cars.
Yep.
It's all the same people. And they're great people.
Which is the right thing for some people.
Yeah. Well, you know, and, you know, if they want their cars to, you know, be polished all the time and never get a scratch and not be driven hard, then it's great for you.
Well, I have to tell you a cute story. So I do local television here in San Diego. And prior to COVID, I mean, a car club would come to KUSI to promote their event. And then when they, you know, then everybody on TV would see it and they would go and it would bump their attendance by 30, 40%. The only problem was he'd come to the to KUSI, park all their cars on the patio, and not leave. I go, you have to leave. Go. Go. It's like shooing chickens because they think they're at a car show. Yeah. They get their chairs out. Yeah. They start talking. I go, no, no, no. You got to leave. I got other things coming on. Yeah.
Well, so, that's the way it is with those things. Yeah. So
but
got
it wasn't
old.
Enough for you.
So, well, so
what is that, a 62 or 63?
63. Yeah, it has a small block of 350. You know, yeah. It was a mild car.
Two-door post.
Yeah, it was actually a sedan or a hard top.
So oh, it is a hard top.
No post. It was a nice car.
Yeah, still is. Isn't
I
it?
Know he said was.
Well,
I just
still,
caught that.
I think it's still a nice car. It's up in Escondido. The guy that bought it from me was in Escondido.
You haven't watered it up yet, have you?
No. Well, that was the problem, Dave. I decided. Well, enough of the car show thing. And my brother had been racing. Jeff had been racing down at Barona for about 15 years, and I'd been down watching and crew chiefing that stuff like for him. So I decided, well, I'll take the Nova down. So I rented a U-Haul trailer, dragged it down here, and first couple of times I went, oh. This is it. You know?
I got the bug.
Yeah. And so I raced that car for 2 years, got two bracket wins at Barona in it. So it was competitive, but it was not a race car.
Right.
You know? And so after 2 years, I sold it with the money and bought a previously built but somewhat dilapidated race car, 65 Chevelle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You sold it.
I sold it. And you know what's interesting about that transaction is the money I got for a really nice street car more than paid for the race car and had leftover money for when things break.
Oh.
So the economics were really there.
So then you had a Chevelle.
So that's what I have now. So I, my latest stint, I've been at, this is my fifth full-time season in NHRA Summit Racing. My second, this will be my third season with the Chevelle, 65 Chevelle. And it's stepped up quite a bit. It's quite a bit quicker.
It's beautiful.
Thanks.
I saw him race yesterday.
Well, if you saw it last year, it would have been in primer.
Uh-oh.
And then it looked old school.
Oh, yeah, old school.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's beautiful.
So, it's blue. It's really a great car, and I've learned to drive it right, and every once in a while, you know, blind squirrel finds a nut, and I win a race. Yeah.
Do you go head-to-head with your brother?
Oh, yeah. We don't choose to. We actually make strategies about not lining up next to each other, but it happens.
There was random pairing yesterday, correct?
Random pairing all through the day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's good.
Sometimes we're on a ladder. But again, the ladder is often predicated on reaction times in a certain round. And so you could just as easily have to race each other. It happens.
Yeah.
It's just part of the deal.
So. I thought you sent me pictures of his car.
I did. I know. I saw you making weird faces at me while he was talking. Look for blue. Look for like electric blue.
For some reason.
It was beautiful. And some of the body is original and some is not, thanks to Steve asking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Brittany visited me yesterday. It was great. You know, she walked up and introduced herself and it was like, oh, this is so cool. She's at the races. So,
and hey, Dave, Steve was so interested in this.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome. Just one more question. Just one more question.
Brittany was ready to walk off, and he goes, no, I got another question.
Well, it's race day. You know, for me, I have to, like, idle in race zone. Yeah. I can't go in and out. You probably can. You're more experienced.
Well, actually, though, you know, drag racing is a little bit like that, you know, because your runs last 6 to 10 seconds, right? And there's a lot of time sitting around, putting gas in the car, talking with each other.
That's what I hate.
Well,
or sitting in this. I mean, I've had a chance. I see you have a Crower cap on.
I do.
I've driven Steve Zimmerman's Killer Crower.
Yeah. You've driven that car?
Yeah. So
I'm impressed.
And, well, not the new one.
Not the one he's got now. Okay. The one where the front engine.
Yeah.
This one, the new one, it's got rear engine.
Gotcha.
I was telling him the other day, I said, dude, give me the wheel. He said, well, it's a lot faster than the other one. I don't care. It's still only 1/8 mile. How much faster can I go? Because I drove the first one, cut an 04 light, won the race.
Yeah.
You know, and okay, that was fun. Lasted, 3-4 seconds?
Right, exactly.
So I got to go back, sit in the staging lane. He says, you want to do it again? How long do I got to sit here this time? Well, 40, 45 minutes? No. It's hot out here. If I'm going to race, I want to race. I want to get out there. And
yesterday was perfect.
Beautiful
but
day.
Was it perfect for racing? He breaks out this electronic box. It's telling the temperature and the O2.
Sweetheart, that's drag racing.
Yeah, I learned yesterday.
Yeah, it's not just you pull up against another guy and you just stand on it and whoever wins, wins.
I understand.
Yeah, it takes.
She got a flavor for it.
She get a good education?
I think so.
Was Steve interested?
He was. That's what I loved about it.
Well, what's he got under the cover?
A 63 Galaxy.
Little on the heavy side.
Yeah.
Little on the heavy side.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, that'd be a perfect bracket race car.
Well, that's the thing about bracket racing. You know, it doesn't matter how quick your car is, as long as it repeats.
We came up in an 02 Toyota Tacoma.
You could have raced.
And he says to the lady, so how much? $30. No, to race, $50. Yeah. I could only been $20 more.
And you could have done it.
Yeah. We'll see. A lot of people talk.
Yeah.
And then you strap yourself in.
Yeah, but Steve might get the bug. You never know.
I'd support it.
I would too. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Yeah, you got to put those on so you can hear. By the way, when Chris is getting ready for us to go on break, he's almost coming out of his chair, jumping in the air.
Oh, we can't see. Oh, behind your back.
Yeah, and Brendan, he just lets the music go. You know, if Stahl ever gets around to it. Now, the difference is, Chris is over here, and Chris is going, pick up the phone, pick up the mic. And Brandon's over here just kind of rolling with the music.
Brandon's in here.
Yeah. Can't you tell? He's got all your
music.
All right. Hey, this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where everybody takes good care of you at El Cajon Ford. Family owned and operated. And Mr. Paul Dyke has taken on just about every challenge and every championship out there. I think the only ones missing is the ambulance. He hasn't won the championship driving the ambulance. But he probably would if he thought he could. Hey, we got Dirt Dude on the line, I think. Dirt Dude.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, bud.
Just kicking chickens. How about you?
I just, working around the garage again. It's a typical Sunday. Getting ready to go walk my dog for a while and have some dinner and, chat with you guys.
Good. So what's going on? Anything new and exciting out at Barona?
We're still looking at April 2nd for our start. It's looking good. I mean, everything's just falling in place. We'll probably do some prep work before then, go check, PA system and all the electronics and lights and, kick the tires and everything, make sure everything's going to be ready to start up when we get ready for April 2nd. Going to bring a lot of our friends back over from Cocopa Speedway. They ran this weekend. They're going to run next weekend. 360 sprints, I think, next weekend out at Cocopa, along with the junior drivers. And next weekend, I am out at the Midwinter Fair for the Heritage Foundation in Imperial Valley, Imperial Fair. So that'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're featuring the Southwest Lightning Sprints, 600s, which I haven't seen in years, 600 sprints, and pure stocks, and junior drivers there, too.
I think C.J. Marin, he raced dwarf cars last year, sold it, I believe, got himself a Lightning Sprint. He will be out there, so keep an eye out for him, would you, Dirt Dude?
I saw that. I'm like, you stepped up, man.
Yeah.
Picked up a Lightning Sprint. I guess that's the way you want to go. I mean, I'm like more like, you want to have fun? Do you pick up the imports, or do you pick up a pure stock, or a street's kind of like, those are kind of the way on the outs now, but like the B mod or a full A mod kind of thing. Those are just, stepping stones.
Yeah.
And all these dwarf cars, I think we're going to have a great year for dwarf cars this year. It sounds like everyone's still staying in it. And, I've been seeing a few of them getting sold and moved around. And hopefully you're going to be out there with yours, Brittany.
She's ready to go. Just trying to find tires, that's all. I was able to get my hands on some 235s, but that is it.
Really? You one set for the season?
No, not a set. One tire on my right rear. No 215s. They might come in May.
Really?
No front tires. No, they're really hard. And Craig is saying yes to. So we have to run Hoosiers. You have a wider. So Dirt Dude, have you been listening? We have a drag racer in. I just saw him race it.
From your neighbors.
Barona. Did you hear about that?
At Barona?
He raced at Barona yesterday.
Okay, yeah. I was wondering if he's tried our track. I thought you went all the way up to like Pomona for big drag racing.
No, but he's that good. He is. Usually I get to introduce our guests. I don't know. Dave got so excited he introduced you. He's. It's okay, but I would have said that he was 2021 King of the Track.
Mm.
So when Dirt Dude's done, maybe you can explain how you earned that.
Sure.
But with tires, he keeps nodding like, I'm having a hard time. Oh, I mean, even NASCAR's having
time. Well, I actually am due to replace my rear slicks, and went on Summit and ordered some, and you know, 1 month went by.
Back
and
order.
They, yeah, exactly. So I called Hoosier. I said, "What's going on?" They said, "Can't find anybody to work, make tires." I said, "Well, you want me to fly back?"
Yeah, help. Right. I think there's a bunch of racers. So anyway, well, I'll help.
It's even worse than that. Talking to Discount Tire, because I bought a tire for the 70 mm-hmm. Plymouth Roadrunner 446 back air grabber. Four
wow,
speed.
That's the title.
And I just wanted a tire for the spare, uh-huh. you know, but it had to be a BF Goodrich, you know, TA radial. And he says, you know, because he knows how many cars I've got. He says, you know all those cars with the 14-inch tires and wheels? Mm. I go, yeah. He says, you better start buying tires. I go, what are you talking about? He says, not only can we not get any people to work, but we can't get the materials. They're not even growing the materials it takes to make tires.
Because the rubber
of,
trees?
Because of shortages of people. And
so yeah. All divisions are probably, it sounds like, at Verona, all divisions are going to struggle.
Yeah.
Well, I know, like, when I was looking, like, for when the Winter Nationals was coming on here for Kokopah, they were saying, yeah, you know, like, they usually get 500 tires shipped to their warehouse. And they're like, we only got, like, you know, 50. You know, it's like yeah. everything is down. Like, you can't get full amounts of everything. Everything is just, like, on limited order right now, and everything's back-ordered or not enough to fulfill the needs.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to educate a lot of drivers that when tires do start to become available, there's going to be some serious stockpiling. What do you want to bet?
I hope not.
Well, you know, you got to be careful with that with drag racing. You can't store a tire for too long or it loses its sticky.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So. Especially with drag racing.
Since drag racing, you can't, like on a dirt track, you can re-groove a tire. You can sipe a tire. You can make a tire last. Drag racing, once you've done it, you've done it. You can't.
Yeah. Or like you said, you can't buy it, let it sit in the garage.
Yeah.
Because then it deteriorates.
That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was going to treat myself to one set this season because I siped and grooved and ground for two seasons. I'm like, I can get myself one set. No, I'm getting myself one tire.
You remind me of the Fastest Indian.
The movie?
Yeah, where he had the tires from the 1900s. He just kept putting shoe polish on them to fill the cracks.
It's about what I was doing the last two seasons. I take hand-me-downs.
So have you heard any news about tires? I mean, are we just in a creek, up a creek?
Me or your guest?
No, you.
Have you know heard? Everything, Dirt Dude.
I haven't. I know they're going to be, like, our tire sponsors are like, when we get them, we'll let everybody know.
Yeah.
They're trying to order as many as they can, but no matter how many you order, they're only going to ship you a certain amount of what they have. They're not going to fulfill your order because they have to fulfill everyone else's order. You know, every other garage is ordering tires, too. So,
and Mike,
I think it'll get by.
I put in my calendar, March 31st, call Wayne Miller, ask if he's getting 215s. He says he's going to order them in May. I put it in my calendar. That's how desperate I am.
That's why you're doing it.
That's how desperate I am.
Put your money down, reserve one, you know, put them on layaway or something and be like, I want them there when I'm ready.
Just one. So I'm not going to hoard them. I don't have that bank account.
I wasn't able to find.
That's the one you're going to put on the right rear for you. You're going to have to just put the new one on the right rear and then put the rest around somewhere else.
Yeah.
The condition they're in.
Exactly. I do that in the front. You put the new one on the right, and then you hardly need a front left in dwarf cars.
Yeah, they're on the ground. I mean, it's never on the
I tried to argue with an official like that. Because it was flat. It was, it was at Cottage Grove. I was telling you, I got in a tangle, and I just loved it, and I wanted to keep going. And I'd just seen, like, a race before. Darren Brown had a really low front left, and he was able to finish and win. And that's when I learned, you don't need that. But I'm telling the official that. He's all, no, 37, you need to exit. Nah, you know, I don't mind. It's just a front left. And I hear in my ear, sorry, 37, you're going to have to leave the track. But it's front left.
Always rules. Stay on. You can always stay on unless it comes off the bead.
Yeah.
Your right rear is the one when they're flat on a right rear. Yeah. You're not going to go any further.
Off.
But like on the left side, if they go and they're flat, as long as they stay on the bead and they're not going to tear up the track, they could be dead flat and you can still carry them.
See, I should have had you talk to the officials.
Well, see, the thing of it is, you had to go fast enough to keep that wheel off the ground. Not bagging on you, but you know.
No, that was a good weekend. I probably could have pulled it off.
Darn.
I got a hard charger.
So, God, I just found some, interesting. Well, if anybody knows anywhere where we get, of course, everybody that races is looking for tires.
Yeah.
Well, I made an order to Summit the other day, and one of the things I threw in there was a durometer to measure the hardness of the tires. I figured, if I got to run these, I ought to know where I'm at.
Yeah.
So I was checking tires yesterday.
Did he actually sell you a durometer?
Yeah, I bought one.
Well, at least I had one.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, I'm telling you, it's crazy that stuff's just running out left.
Yeah. That's what I'm afraid. I won't be able to run a full season just because I really physically won't have everything.
Yeah.
Isn't there some car out there or golf cart that's got your tires on it?
Hoosiers? I don't think so.
Can't you just write Hoosier?
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
You just got to know.
Rattle can.
You just got to know how to spell
it. Make sure I put the I in there.
Now, I think they got a tech people at Barona that might look a little closer than that.
Just keep them moving.
Yeah. So
April 2nd.
Is that going to affect? You think that's going to affect the season, Dirt Dude?
I don't think so. You're talking like still 2-3 months away, and I'm sure, it depends on what happens here, war going on and everything else, but
grind and groove. We'll have siping lessons.
We're trying to turn everything around. So,
yeah. Well, it's and it's crazy. We think we're getting out of this pandemic. We think we can go back racing, and now this. Just never a dull moment is the thing.
Never a dull moment. We're all in the same.
Worst part is going to be gas prices, because it goes anywhere. It's going to $5-$10 get somewhere in a gallon of gas. So.
Yeah, because that's not getting better. That's going to get worse.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I know. It's crazy.
But for local people here in San Diego, hey, check out Barona Speedway.
Yeah.
You're going to have a great time.
Well, and all the people that have never raced out there, this is why not go up there and race. I mean, nothing wrong with Cocopa or some of the other tracks, but you can do it all right there.
Mm-hmm. Every weekend.
They go straight in circles. You can live vicariously through another racer by watching.
Well, there is that too. I hadn't even thought of that, which is what I do every weekend. But it just depends. All right. Well, all right, buddy. Well, hey, I'll let you get back to walking the dog right here.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Thanks, buddy. Dirt Dude, the announcer extraordinaire at Barona Speedway.
Yes, he is.
FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Paris Auto Speedway. Boy, I tell you. I cannot wait for the season to get started, and neither can you. Easy, girl. Easy. I'm going to start throwing cold water on you.
I'm sorry, listeners. I just turned around.
Yeah.
At the TV.
Yeah, don't turn around. This segment, again, like I said, is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Go to parisautospeedway.com. Check out the schedule and find out exactly what race would make you happy. So who we got on the line? Scott DeLucio?
Unfortunately for you, yeah.
Oh, hey. Listen, you're all right.
We like it when you call in.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Well, we're just discussing the dilemma of lack of tires from Hoosier.
Are these first world problems?
I think they're first world problems.
I can't get my race tires.
Boy, are you having any...
That hit the sprint car world pretty hard last year. So far this year, I think everybody's okay, but it caused a big problem. Not only sprint cars, but our stock car guys are having trouble getting tires too.
Yeah, I was totally kind of surprised about it, but good. I'm glad. So, like I was telling Brittany, I says, "Man, I'd be stocking up." And then our guest, who drag race, says, "Well, you can't stock a drag tire because it won't
it loses its sticky." Is that your quote? Did I quote you
that's
right?
That's a technical term.
Yeah, so you guys are getting close, man.
Yeah, we open this Saturday. It's the 26th season opener this coming Saturday, and we start off with Night of Destruction, which over the past few years has even surpassed sprint cars at our track when it comes to popularity.
Yes, one of your biggest fans,
yes,
right here.
This girl is one. So are you going to be there? You going to be there?
No. Steve has a show. Sorry. He's opening for, someone really big.
Oh, okay.
Sublime. It's a pretty big deal.
Okay, so you're gonna go.
I'm gonna be in LA.
Well, Sublime with Rome.
Sublime with Rome.
Yeah, it's not called Sublime. It's Sublime with Rome because it's a different lead singer entirely. They like to.
So anyway, Scott.
But I will be there because I love Night of Destruction.
Yes, indeed. So tickets are on sale now. Can you go online?
Yeah, tickets are on sale. People go to our website, ParisAutoSpeedway.com. There's a ticket icon just up over the Racer Radio icon on the front page. Mm-hmm. They click on that.
Uh-huh.
Or there's a phone number on there they can call as well. And they don't want to buy advance tickets. We always have tickets for anybody who walks up.
Both are easy. I've done both. I used to walk up. Now I get it online. Super easy. Right. The line is even shorter. We get it online.
So how do you think the season thing is going to be wild and just packed this year since things are kind of opened up?
Well, I hope so. You know, when you had Don on a few weeks ago, like he was saying, you know, we actually had a good season last year.
Right, considering.
But we didn't get to open until late April last year. You know, after 2 years ago, we got opening night in. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were actually talking in the press box on opening night. And, you know, COVID was just picking up steam at that point. And Don looked at me and he said, you know, he goes, I don't know if we're going to be here next Saturday night. And he goes, we may not be here for a month or so.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and told him, it's like, hey, you're friggin' crazy.
Yes.
And that was the last time I was there for the year.
I know.
The whole season got canceled after that. So, yeah I think we're going to do good. There's a lot of. Getting a lot of talk online. We just teasing people right now. I got a call about an hour ago. We'll have this guy. I'll have him call in a few weeks, too. I'm not going to say who it is. One of the top sprint car drivers, bigger personalities we've had over the decades, is coming back to racing this year.
Oh, okay.
You have a guess who it is, Dave?
Nope.
No? Okay. We'll be surprised.
Because if I guess, he's going to say, oh, man, you guessed. I'm not going to do that.
I wouldn't do that if my life depended on it.
That's exactly.
I enjoyed talking to Andrew.
He was a great interview, by the way.
We're going to announce it later today online. We're teasing people right now so they can participate.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
So we'll get to talk to him. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, we'll find out. But you're looking at a full night of destruction. How many different divisions?
We have figure eight cars, the figure eight trailer race. We're going to have the mini stocks, which that class is growing like crazy. The demo cross, which is actually benefiting from the mini stocks
because they're doing
the mini
both.
Stock guys, the last race last year, they decided, hey, we can enter our cars in that too. It's a big risk because they're running against a lot of big trucks and SUVs and stuff. And anything goes. Those guys hit those little cars, you know, they're going to tear the heck out of them.
Yeah.
And we have double-deckers again.
Yeah. Literally. You want me to show you a picture?
See, that's what you ought to do, Craig. Huh? You ought to do that.
What's that?
He's too smart to do that.
He is educated. He's
you
an
get
engineer.
A Crown Vic on the bottom.
Hopefully he's too smart to do that.
And then you put a Honda on the top. And on the top steers and the Crown Vic brakes?
Yeah, a car on the top steers, the one on the bottom, use the throttle and the brakes. And there's no radio communication between the two.
What could go wrong?
There's no communication between the two except hollering out the window to the other driver.
And the last one that they had, the final one last season, a couple of them tipped over.
Yeah, just like
like one of them tipped over into the wall, and one of them had the PT Cruiser mounted backwards, so it looked like it was going in reverse. Yeah, I'm going to look for
guy. There's some guy this year who's saying the car on top is going to be a convertible.
Really?
See it when we. Believe
it when you see it.
Well, Don's going to go for that.
Get a roll bar or something.
Well, if he cages it.
Real fast rule change on that.
Well, if he cages it, he probably could get away with it. You think?
You have to have, I believe, I haven't looked at the rule on that. I believe you do have to have a cage in the car.
Yeah.
To start with.
I don't think.
For convertibles. We had a guy come out, Chuck Becker, has been on your show a few times.
Oh, yeah.
He came out the last race of the year with his super stock car, and he took the roof off it.
Really?
Which is really cool for the fans because, you know, you can see the drivers working when they go by you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it used to be that way with sprint cars. You could see the drivers working the wheel in the cockpit. Well, you know, over the last 20, 25 years, I mean, they're cocooned in those cars where all you can see is the top of their helmet.
Right. To the point where they're wearing white gloves.
It always adds a lot to the show.
Yeah.
You could see a driver working his car. And it's harder to do in a stock car or anything with a roof on it. I get that, but, you know.
Well, you never know what Don might come up with.
No, and he stays up late night watching TV. It couldn't be trouble.
Yeah, how hard could that be? How hard could that be? Any special events planned for the year? I mean, outside of fireworks and...
World of Outlaws, they're there a week from, or a month from last night. They're only appear in Southern California this year. They're going to be joined by the USAC CRA Sprint Cars. So if you're a sprint car fan, you're getting the best of both worlds. You're getting the world's fastest dirt track sprint cars, the World of Outlaws, and you get the number one traditional sprint car group west of the Mississippi with the USAC CRA cars. And that's March 26th, I believe. Tickets are on sale for that.
Right.
And people want to get those. If you don't reserve seats, you got to go to worldofoutlaws.com.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's good to know.
It's their show.
Okay.
We just supply the racetrack.
Are you calling the races?
I only call the CRA portion of the show. World of Outlaws have had their
announcer,
traveling announcer John Gibson, who was actually just inducted in the National Sprint Car Hall, or just named that he's going to be put in.
Wow.
Later this year in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame in Iowa. And he's been doing it for well over 20 years. So,
jeez.
He's a textbook when it comes to knowing what's going on with those guys. So he'll call their part of the show. I'll call this our CRA portion of the show.
All right. Gotcha. Makes sense. But I tell you what, folks, if you've not been to Paris Auto Speedway, it's a 2-hour drive from San Diego. It's a piece of cake.
It's totally worth it. I see you're having fireworks on July 2nd.
They have the most amazing fireworks display.
We went
Fourth
of July a few years ago.
Yeah. And I love the fact that during Halloween, they give the kids candy. And
we do that at every race now.
Are you doing it
you
at every race now?
To big kids or just little?
We started that. Actually, Shelley Woldred suggested before Halloween one time. This is like 4 or 5 years ago. And she called me on Thursday and she goes, you know, you guys should have the drivers on the front straightaway at intermission pass out candy to the kids. And I'm thinking, man, without two days' notice, it's going to be hard to get the word out. So I mentioned it to Don. He goes, yeah. He goes, can't hurt. Let's try it. We figured we'd get 30, 35 kids. We got like 200 kids the first year. Well, we did it the year after, and we got like 400 kids.
Jesus.
We did it one more year, and the same thing. And then one of our stock car guys who's been on the show, Stephen Fangmeyer.
Oh, yeah, Steve.
He said, I think it was 2019. Yeah, it was 2019. He goes, you guys should do this at the stock car shows. You'll bring in some extra people. And it did.
I'll be done.
So then Don goes, well, heck, if it's working with everything else, let's do it with sprint cars, too. So at intermission at every show, not the Oval Nationals and not the World of Outlaw show, whether it's stock cars or our sprint car shows, intermission, we get all the drivers on the front radio with candy. Kids come meet the drivers. Night of Destruction, we do it before the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like this week, we do it at 5:15 to 5:45. But the sprint car, stock cars, you know, Night of Destruction, kid comes out, collects candy, gets an autograph, and 10 minutes later, can see this guy they just met racing their car.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is an interaction.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, you can't get, I mean, you've got a drag racer on there, which is one of the greatest things about NHRA.
Right.
You know, those guys in the pits, and they're, you know, they're accessible when they're in the pits. The big stars, I mean, they come out and sign autographs to the fans several times a day. Try that. You know, you can't do that at NASCAR, IndyCar.
No, you
can't do it at most short tracks, you know. So this has worked out really, really well.
Yeah.
It has brought a lot of people into the sport, and I don't mean to say this because I've got a lot of gray hair, but we can sit in the press box, and it's like, man, there's a lot of people with gray hair sitting out there. Well, over the last few years since we started this, we're seeing a lot of people come with little kids.
Yeah. And that's the future. That's the future.
The demographics of the crowd has changed because of this.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
And it brings in more people. We try to run a fast show at Paris. you know, racing starts at 7. We try to get the people out of there by 10 o'clock. I mean, the worst thing in the world is to have a show that runs 5 hours for whatever reason. You know, sometimes, you know, it can get out of control just because of what happens on the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a kid after 2.5, 3 hours, when you've got like a long yellow flag or a huge delay between races, kid gets bored.
Yeah, you're losing.
Doesn't have to come back. You know, if you got that kid in there for 3 hours, get to meet drivers and have a good time, he's going to want to come back.
You're absolutely right. All right, buddy.
You know, with an eight-year-old getting tired, that just doesn't work.
Yeah, never. All right, buddy. Speaking of eight-year-olds, I'll let you go take care of your pugs.
I can hear.
I'm sure you can hear them right now. They're worn on the bed.
Well, they said it's time for you to get off the radio, Dad.
Yeah, they want to go eat tomatoes.
Eat tomatoes?
They're in my tomato plants every day.
Well, of course they are. All right, folks. That was our good buddy, Scott Delosio. Thanks, man. Talk to you next Sunday.
Guys.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue. Hey, those guys over there have got an in-house dyno, so anything they do to your race car, street car, off-road car, dirt car, they can throw it on a dyno and make sure what you paid for, you got your money's back. CertifiedCarCare.net. Why do you have two fingers up?
Because I have two questions I would love to ask before we leave.
Me or Craig?
Craig.
That's what I thought. I'm going
Sorry.
Home.
Sorry, Dave.
I'm leaving. I'm just leaving.
Well, first of all, I would like to know how you earned or what that title, King of the Track, means. And then second, I asked you off air, but I didn't want the answer yet.
About the Outlaw.
About Outlaw.
Yeah. So I'll
start Free T-shirt.
Yeah, right. I'll start with the King of the Track. It's a an event held at most NHRA tracks that do ET racing like they do it. And it's sponsored by Summit Racing and NHRA. They both sanction the race. But the way that Barona runs it, it's probably done a little differently in every track, is they create four classes, three of the typical ones they run for Summit, ETE, Race, Sportsman, Pro, Super Pro. And then they have a fourth one called a Gambler. And any one of those people from the other classes can get in the Gambler. So the Gambler is kind of a catch-all group.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow cars to double enter, so you can enter two classes. Some will do Sportsman and Pro, some will do Pro and Gambler. And they run those like a normal bracket, so single elimination bracket, and they create four champions for the race. And then those four champions have a shootout, a four-car shootout for King of the Track.
Got
so
it.
That's how
everything
and
came
guess
together.
Guess who got it?
Yeah. Well, 2020, I was runner-up, and I raced a guy named Gary Harefield. He's probably one of the best racers, I think, in the country. It's bracket racing, the kind of stuff we do.
So explain bracket racing for people that may not know what that is.
It's a form of racing, drag racing specifically, that allows any car of any speed or ET, elapsed time capability, to race against any other. And like I say, it's a little bit like liar's poker. You got to put a number on your car in seconds.
Physically, listeners, they physically write that number on the windshield.
Put on shoe polish, and the other driver will do the same. And if one guy puts 10 seconds on a car, another guy puts 8 seconds on a car, well, one car gets a 2-second head start, and then whoever gets to the finish line wins. So it's a way of equalizing different cars and having.
But if you put a 10 on your car, and then I put an 8 on mine, and you break out and do it in 7 seconds, so there's a little bit.
Whole lot, because he says he's using whole numbers.
Yeah.
But he's talking all the way to the
tenths.
He was saying thousands actually yesterday.
So I in 2020 I raced Gary in the King of the Track final, lost, and then I win the first round of the King of the Track shootout this year 2021, and who do I see again? Gary.
Yeah.
You're going geez.
So well, you know, but I've been there before, so it's like okay, I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable here, and so we line up. And, you know, track's dark, half the people are gone, and, you know.
Of course they are.
And so we take off, and at the hit, one of the things in bracket racing is reaction time, how quickly you react to the green light.
Right.
And so I had him 11 thousandths to the better on my light, if I remember correctly. And, all right, had him 12 thousandths of a mm-hmm. second better on the light. And his car ran closer to his ET dial-in by 11 seconds. So the margin of victory at the end of the track was 1,000th of a second. And at 100 miles an hour, which is about what my car goes to the end of the track.
That's blinking of an eye.
That translates to 2 inches.
Wow.
And so the only way I knew I won is my wind light came on. There's a light on the K-rail. Wind light came on, and I have to say there was a little bit of party going on that Chevelle.
You think? You think? Since he got you last time.
So
a little bit of party going on.
It was huge. And the thing about the king of the track that is pretty special. See, when we race, if you win a bracket race, you'll get an envelope. In the envelope, there's some money. That's always good. But there's a little sticker.
Right.
It's like it's like your kids you teach, right? Mm. We're more excited about that sticker. Mm-hmm. Win sticker.
Yeah.
It's a Verona winner.
Yeah, you have to earn that sticker.
But the King of the Track race comes with, because it's an NHRA-sanctioned race that they do special, comes with the coveted Wally Trophy, which is the official trophy of the NHRA.
You actually got a Wally?
Yeah.
I'm a goosebumps.
Yeah. And so when I took delivery of that, it was, you know, just amazing. I was
Did you tear
pretty
up?
Special day. I don't know, I got teared up, but it was...
You ever been to John Forrest's place in Lower Melinda?
I haven't, no.
Have you?
Don't go.
He probably didn't know where to put another one.
It used to be an Infiniti car dealership.
Yeah.
And when he bought it, Infiniti says, no, you're not going to turn this into a drag race shop. He goes, yes, I am, and the place is spotless. But when you walk in the door, just Wally's everywhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty incredible, yeah.
Well, he's a pretty incredible guy.
Yeah, no,
when it comes to drag racing.
He really is. Well, you mentioned, your previous caller mentioned, you know, the accessibility of the racers at drag races.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I was at Pomona last weekend, and John Force was out taking pictures with kids.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
I tell people, if you're going to go to an NHRA race, don't get close to the trailers or the cars, because you can either end up with a wrench or a rag.
Yeah,
if you're lucky.
Well,
but
serious.
It's part of the ticket. It's not like you have to be any more special than the next person.
Nope.
No.
Yeah, and this is the top level, which now I should have held three fingers. Can I ask another question?
Yes, well, you can always ask questions.
So I do still want to know this outlaw thing, but I brought this up on air one of those days we didn't have a guest and we were just on the fly, and I think you're the right person to ask. And this is just my theory. Everyone can hate me and disagree. But it seems like I haven't found another sport outside of drag racing where females are truly as competitive as males. Would you?
Well,
do you have any thoughts on that? Like if you have a male and a female soccer player or teams, I'm putting my money on the male team.
Okay, well, let's re-ask that question. Okay. Why do you think girls do as well as they do?
There you go.
In drag racing versus other forms of motorsports?
That's what I wanted to ask.
Well,
I knew you did.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm not really sure I know how to answer the question, other than to say that, you know, drag racing is something that it doesn't necessarily require a lot of strength.
Right.
You know, it requires great hand-eye coordination.
Right.
Reaction, absolutely. And there's nothing about genders that really comes
and
into play
emotions.
About that.
Emotions. I think guys have a tendency to get their testosterone a little out of whack. Maybe it's not going as well. Where a girl, you tell the girl, okay, get in the car. Here's what I want you to do. Go do it. And the girl gets in the car, does what you want me to do, and goes and does it. She has no preconceived notions until maybe they get up into the, you know, the Ashley Forces and... You know, the Leah Priots. But I think a junior drag racing, they just have an attitude about it to where they just go in and do exactly what you tell them to do. You know what I'm saying?
I think there's an element of that for
sure. Not that you needed to have the answer. We can move on to outlaw. It's just I haven't found another sport where they truly can hold their own. Erica and Leah and Courtney and Brittany. Like they hold their own, and there's no powder puff division necessary. Like they
and anybody gender can go do that.
Yeah.
If a girl wants to be a boy, go.
Whatever you want to identify as, go do. And it's not a political thing. It's just like I haven't found another sport.
I haven't
and
either.
Yeah, the testosterone and estrogen, they influence muscle mass, bone density, you know, flexibility. Where drag racing is
it's
reaction.
Mental. It's mental.
Yeah, it is. It's a very mental.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
And girls could be mental. Okay, so tell me about Outlaw. Sorry. I saw Outlaw everywhere yesterday, and it almost seemed like it was a generic term and
no,
overused.
No, it's not.
Okay, what does Outlaw mean?
You happen to pick a time when there were quite a few of us there. But there's sort of this racing banner called Outlaw Racing, and the central figure in Outlaw Racing is a guy named Jim Woods, and he's like a lot of these celebrities. He goes by just one name. Everybody knows.
Oh,
everybody
like Woody? Knows
it. It's Woody. Okay. Yeah. If you look him up in the standings on Verona's website, Craig Wesser and John Hildebrand and Pete Reedon and Woody.
Yeah.
Anyway, Woody's been at this for about 50 years.
Oh, okay.
And he's been driving the Outlaw Corvette for most of those years. Raced up in Northern California. He actually was a part of the track operation at Carlsbad.
Uh-huh.
And we're a group of like-minded racers, he's our central figure. We believe in sportsmanship. We believe in being helpful to other racers. If someone comes up to our pit, we're the kind of people that if we have something on our trailer or our truck that they need, it's theirs.
Yeah, right.
We don't cry when we lose. We don't stick our finger in somebody's face when we win. We're sportsmen. And so that's a sense of pride that we have.
I like this.
But
actually, it's we don't cry in public.
You called me on it.
Hey, I know what it's like to lose. I don't know. And I know what you said.
So is it more like an association? It's not a team.
A brotherhood.
A brotherhood.
Yeah, okay. Woody likes to say it's not a team. It's not a club.
It's a brotherhood.
It is. And we recognize that, we have the same values. And so I was invited to be part of that group. When I start racing.
Oh, so it's an invitation only?
It kind of is,
it two wheels and four wheels?
No, it's just drag racing.
Well, there is two-wheel drag.
There's 10 of us right now, I think, roughly. Okay. And we all race at Verona, and we travel together when we go out of town. And
there you go.
I like what it stands for.
And last night we had Pete Reedon cooked up tri-tip and baked potatoes.
Holy cow, didn't get that invite.
So we do, and we drink beer at the end of the race and have a good time sitting on the tailgate.
All right. Talking about racing. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Fill her with more drag race fans.
Will do.
Maybe we'll get Woody in here sometime.
That'd be great. I think it'd be great here.
I think it'd be a hoot.
Nice.
As always, Brittany, my dear.
I knew it was going to be a good one.
You always do good ones. All right. We're going to have to hit the road. Gun Owners Radio. What?
Boat racer next week.
Oh, you got a boat racer next week? Ooh, right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.